Keeping It Brief is a discussion show centered around current events of questionable importance. While the guys occasionally sound like they know what they're talking about, nothing they say should be considered fact. Also, the show deals with adult themes and includes adult language. If you can't handle that, well, get the fuck out.
I think I'm gonna put on Wu-Tang Enter the Seven Chambers, and I'm just gonna watch all of these to Wu-Tang. Well, you know, Derek, I just like to set myself up for success. What can I say?
They can deconstruct my porn habits all they want, but I don't know if they're gonna get too far.
What do you think Angela Merkel's porn habits are?
Optimus Prime gets infinity miles to the gallon. All right, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it fucking big. You guys ready?
I'm in.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Well, what is going on, everybody? And welcome to the newest edition of Keeping It Brief, a casual conversation on common courtesy and culture. My name is Christian, and I'm coming at you live from the 415. I'll be your moderator today, as well as one of your co-hosts. Joining me, as always, the other two members of the quaint triumvirate, Kevin Osmond. How are we doing?
Doing great. Down in beautiful Southern California, enjoying some nice warm weather. Loving life right now.
Yeah, it should be noted that KO and I did just talk for about 25 minutes on the show, How to Get Away with Murder. So if that's something that's been taking up part of your life, look for that. We had some good points as well as some not so good points. But mostly, Derek, I have a question.
Sure.
Why is there a picture of your penis on a dead girl's phone?
Are you sure it's my penis?
The wallpaper doesn't lie. And those are references you will get if you watch that show. And if not, this is going to be real awkward. Yeah. DJS, how are you living?
I'm living just fine. A little awkward feeling right now. My penis was just put on blast. Besides that, I feel pretty good.
Well, that's good. That's good. Aside uh-huh. from the blasting of the penis, all is well.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty par for the course.
Derek, just real quick, are you going to watch this World Series game 6 that is occurring tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm
going to
sit this one out. No, I'll definitely be watching it.
5-game series is appropriate, but when you push it to 6, you're just asking for too much of my time at that point. You know?
I know. You're just gouging us for money at that point. No, I'm excited for it. We'll see how it goes. Cool. We'll talk afterwards.
That sounds good. Rundown?
Let's do the rundown.
Is it okay to watch other people's phones on the bus? There was a fight on Hollywood Boulevard, and thank God for Chewbacca. Marvel had the Age of Ultron trailer accidentally released, and then they released it anyways, but how long until we don't care about these things anymore? The Royals, who are probably going to lose in the World Series in the near future, had a huge slump in July, and it was due to the wonderful game, Clash of Clans. A man faked a coma for 2 years, but apparently wasn't doing it very well because he only faked it for 2 years. And James Blunt apologizes for the seminal mid-2000s hit, You're Beautiful. Thanks, James.
Chica, chica, yeah.
So this week in Common Courtesy Questions, we have one that I think we probably deal with at a inordinate rate compared to other members of the world, and that is something that often occurs whilst on public transit. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna pose the question to you, Derek, because I think you can offer a different perspective. Yeah. And so the question that often comes to mind is when you're on a bus or on the BART or something similar,
sure,
and someone is doing something on their phone,
right?
Is it rude to look always, and if no, what scenarios are okay?
Yeah.
And the reason I ask you is because you carry a television in your pocket masquerading as a phone.
Sure. We got the IMAX Nokia Lumia 1520. So this actual thing happened to me Saturday night. I was flying back from LA, and I was on the plane. We boarded during inning 5 of the World Series game 5, and my phone died on me, my large screen. Crazy, oddly enough, this phone takes a lot of juice to power itself. I know, it's weird.
Got like 2.5 hours of battery life on that thing.
Yeah. Didn't have my backup generator with me, so
you can watch Gravity.
You could watch Gravity. It'd be great. The guy next to me was around our age, and he paid for the Wi-Fi on the plane in order to watch the game, and I was sitting directly next to him. So the Wi-Fi costs you around, like, $10 for those flights. And so I just kind of told him, I was like, hey, man, I'm going to be looking at your phone, if that's okay. Let me buy you a drink. And so I just bought him a drink, and drinks are, like, $5, so it kind of just worked out. I don't think that's necessary, per se. I think it's kind... I really do feel it's kind of like an obligation. If you got something going on your phone that's a communal event, like a baseball World Series game or anything, any analog to that, and someone else doesn't have access to it at a time when they clearly really care about it, it's almost like your sworn duty as fellow fans to be able to provide that experience.
Mm-hmm.
I would concur with that. Now, on kind of not such a easy decision, shall we say.
Okay.
What if you are playing some sort of a game and somebody is watching you play this game? Would that bother you?
Like if you're getting on that Hearthstone tip or that Clash of Clans tip, something like
that? Let's say that. You're maybe, I don't know if they have a World of Tanks for the giant phones, but something along those lines could be in play as well.
It's a Windows phone, man. I ain't got shit.
All right. It's three games.
I'm lucky I have Snake, all right? I think that's a little different because that is a personal experience as opposed to a communal one. If someone's interested in it and has like a question or two, absolutely. I'd be happy to like explain a little bit about what's going on. But generally, I think that's more of a personal journey you're going on,
man,
with a game.
I have to say that nobody better be asking me any questions while I'm in the middle of clashing, though, because I would not answer those questions. I'd be like, no, one second. I think that you have the responsibility to a like point of comfort. Like if I'm sitting here and I'm watching my screen and like you're to my right and I can just tilt it a little bit so that we can both see a little better, that's great. But if somebody is like there and you have to go a little bit out of you shouldn't have to really go out of your comfort zone to allow others to view it. But as long as they got good breath and good hygiene, I think it's fair to say that you should share the wealth of sports with everybody, you know?
Yeah. I think I would say that, if the phone is sideways, mm-hmm. does this make sense? If it's a horizontal situation,
mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of more inviting of a I'm comfortable doing what I'm doing in a public manner,
mm-hmm. yeah.
from the user than when it's a vertical situation.
Let me throw this at you. What if it's a TV show or a movie as opposed to like a sporting event?
Is the audio playing for the entire bus to hear your audio though?
No, that would be a deal breaker, mm-hmm. right there. That gets your phone picked up and ejected through the window.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But if he's got his earbuds in and he's watching, and I'm watching, you know, Gravity, let's say, just throwing something.
I don't like that. I don't like that. Cause you could spoil the shit out of that for somebody in the worst way. Like if you're watching the hot new Game of Thrones on Monday on your way to work, let's say you're for whatever reason, that's how you like to get your kicks.
Sure.
And the person next to you is like, oh, I wonder what's going on. Oh my God. Yeah. You know, like that's no good for anybody.
Yeah. But they can avert their eyes. We actually, I think Christian and I actually had this, experience in real life, with two guys who met on an Amtrak and bonded over watching Spider-Man 2, I believe it was. And there were no headphones to be had on that movie. There was a, the dude set it up on the table, pumped up the volume, and they just chatted away, and with Spider-Man in the background. So, in that scenario,
are we talking Andrew Garfield Spider-Man?
Oh yes,
it was the Amazing Spider-Man.
I believe that this was a pirated copy of the. This was right after the movie had come out, so this was a pirated copy that he was sharing with his new friend. And in that scenario, I luckily had noise-canceling headphones, so I was A-okay with it. But if I had to listen to those two guys talk and listen to Spider-Man in the background for 4 hours, I think that would have started to get on me.
I did not have these noise-canceling headphones for part of this situation. My phone was in a situation where I wasn't comfortable using all of the juice, shall we say?
Yeah.
And it was horrible because it was littered with like just like partial sound effects,
right?
And just the worst commentary
I can
of all time. Just like, man, who that? Like, that's Jamie Foxx. Ooh, he ain't been good since Ray, you know? And it's like, I don't like.
In the one movie this, he got any social recognition for? Yeah.
It's like, I did not pay for this as part of my, you know, $40 ride from San Francisco to the middle of Fresno on my Amtrak.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to a different topic. And this would be people who probably listen to the phone on full blast on the Amtrak.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there is, in the Venn diagram of life, people who dress up in costumes on Hollywood Boulevard and people who listen to Amtrak movies full blast on their phone. There's probably a lot of middle area. So we should say that this is actually not like a funny thing from the beginning, sure, because it is like a dude assaulting a woman for
not
kind
cool
of unknown
all.
Reasons. Mm-hmm. Not cool. But luckily with the high quality journalism that exists in the greater Los Angeles area, they made it a joke for us.
Oh, yeah.
Because after the fight between Mr. Incredible and Batgirl or Catgirl, they interviewed the hero, Chewbacca, who...
God bless him.
Stayed true to character. And actually made, like, the worst Chewbacca sound I've ever heard anybody make.
I wanted someone to point this out. It was pretty poor for a Chewbacca on Hollywood Boulevard. I feel like that should be the cream of the Chewbacca crop right there. And his wailing was not up to snuff, I didn't think.
Yeah, yeah. That guy, that was no Wookiee right there.
No. But I think we have to give...
Was it a man masquerading in a Wookiee costume? Oh, he had me.
We have to give KTLA5 some credit here because they were all over this story. I've been down in LA for the last couple weeks, and I actually saw the live shoot at 11 p.m. from Hollywood Boulevard.
Breaking news.
This was the opener to their newscast that night. So it was a slow night in LA news. And this woman's out there in the 65 degree cold talking about the attack and showing that Chewbacca or Mr. Incredible attacked Batwoman or is it Batgirl over turf. That's what it was. It was
some kind of turf dispute.
It was the
right?
correct spot where you're supposed to stand, you know, to get
I
your
need
money.
My corners.
And Mr. Incredible, I think, did not follow the rules there. And I think Batgirl tried to make sure he knew he didn't follow the rules, and he wasn't having none of that. He's Mr. Incredible. He gets what he wants. So,
sure.
So he started attacking her, and then Chewbacca, Freddy Krueger, and Waldo of Where's Waldo fame jump in to Batgirl's defense, luckily, and we have all of it captured on video. The play-by-play was just spot on, I have to say. If anybody hasn't watched this video, get on KTLA.com and find this thing. Just Google like Chewbacca fight and it will be the first thing you'll see. But they give a legitimate play-by-play breakdown of what's happening, who's helping when, and really Freddy Krueger comes out looking the best in this entire scenario, I think.
Yeah. Plot twist.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. You don't
good guy Freddy.
Yeah, Freddy Krueger coming up clutch as the hero.
If we're gonna be honest here, I don't think any of us are well versed enough in Freddy Krueger canon to say definitively whether or not he ever was the good guy in one of the 14 movies he's been a part of.
Oh,
closest was Freddy versus Jason. But mainly no.
Maybe this guy is just, maybe he's like channeling a certain Freddy. Maybe he's channeling like post-retirement Freddy who's like come back to right his wrongs.
Yeah, just to hang out with tourists and defend the weaker superheroes out there.
Yeah. For the record, this Mr. Incredible was not particularly incredible, if I do say so.
No, he was attacking a woman and like kept, he would get taken away and then go back in and attack again. So it was not his best look.
No,
but you know, Wookiees have superhuman strength, so it's yeah. you can't blame him too much, you know.
You always let the Wookiee win. We learned that in Star Wars Episode 4.
This is true. All right, question time. You fall down on your luck. You just fall down right on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you find yourself in Los Angeles. And you realize that the only thing that will immediately make you fast cash is dressing up in a costume. And, I mean, I don't believe there are any qualifications for these positions. Right. And going, excuse me, to the Hollywood Boulevard area, who do you dress up as?
I got it. I would dress up as just a generic Star Trek officer in a red shirt and just lay on the ground pretending I'm dead.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a winner. People would get it.
Yeah, people would get it.
So red many shirt. People would just step on you and because they're not looking at the ground. Because like Mr. Incredible was back there, and then like Luke Skywalker's further ahead, and like Johnny Depp's over in the corner, and then they would just
walk right
over. Who's
this drunk guy?
Yeah, I guess that's true. More people would not get it than got
I think so,
it, but
I think so.
People would still get it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The people who got it would really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. KO, do you have a character in mind?
You know, I would probably want to do, I'd probably go for like a Batman or something like that.
It's played out, bro.
I would love to do, hey man, you want to know what makes money?
There's certainly already a Batman there.
Yeah, but I saw this Batman in this movie, in this news clip. I got firsthand view of this Batman and he wasn't too impressive. So I think I could take some of his, I think I'd have a chance at taking some of his business. And you got to pick a timeless superhero, man. Tourists don't know who, most tourists probably don't know who Chewbacca is, but everyone's going to see Superman and Batman and they're going to get the dollars. So if I need to make money, I'm going for the big boys.
Mm.
I take a lot of umbrage with you saying most tourists don't know who Chewbacca is.
I think that is very factual.
I think you are wrong.
More people would know, a significant percentage more would know Batman than Chewbacca.
I feel like if
I'll give you that.
We're talking about making money, man.
How about Christian, who would you be?
I would go with the timely factor, and I would be Star-Lord.
Oh,
that would be dope.
That could be
That's
good,
actually
yeah.
a really good call. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would go Star-Lord because it's timely, it's relevant, it's not like terribly expensive to dress up as, you know? Yeah. Like a full Chewbacca suit, I find it hard to believe is particularly cheap.
And so hot.
Yeah,
imagine as we've learned, ugh, as we learned from Step Brothers, the high quality masks are pretty a lot more expensive than you'd think.
Yes,
so. It'd be tough to like.
Do you guys think that this is like the worst thing that happened to these guys' business because they're all now realizing that other people are going to realize how shitty they are at what they do, and there's going to be like an influx? Do you think we're going to see a rise in like defending like you said that Chewbacca sucked? There's got to be a better Chewbacca out there.
Oh yeah. Well, it's all...
Some guy's playing Chewbacca in Westchester, and he's just like, I could go to the big leagues. I could go be Chewbacca on Hollywood Boulevard. That could be me.
Yeah, I think it's all about... It's kind of like they got a union going on there, you know? It's like you don't...
You got to get on that grind,
yeah,
you know?
You got to earn your way up.
It's not about
scenario.
Having the right stuff.
You can't just show up and get your corner, man. You're going to get... They clearly have each other's backs there, so you're going to get moved off. So I would say it's tougher. I think it's tougher than it looks.
Such an in crowd.
Speaking of in crowds, our market research taught us that if we wanted to be in, we needed to talk about Benedict Cumberbatch, because that's what the people fucking love right now.
He's so hot right now.
That Benedict Cumberbatch is so tall and gangly right now. And luckily we can, because we could link it into something we enjoy, and that's the Marvel Universe, because Benedict Cumberbatch was recently announced as Doctor Strange, which I know nothing about, except that it's part of the Marvel Universe. Derek, I think this is where you take us away.
Doctor Strange, the Sorcerer Supreme of the Marvel Universe. He's just kind of your run-of-the-mill wizard, more or less. The cool thing about him is not so much the character, but the area of the Marvel Universe that he represents. And it's kind of a new door opening into the cinematic universe, bringing in kind of the mysticism and like arcane elements of the Marvel Universe. Like, one of his archenemies is Mephisto, like basically the devil. So it brings in all this cool new stuff that they haven't dealt with before. They kind of have the ground-level heroes, and they have the sci-fi elements. Now we're getting into, like, the magic, and I'm kind of excited about that, actually.
Okay, so I have two questions.
Sure.
The first is, how Gandalfian are we talking as far as wizards go?
Well, he's played by Benedict Cumberbatch, so he's like sexy Gandalf.
Are we talking 2 foot beard or 3 foot beard?
Excuse me. Sexier Gandalf. He's got a kind of like a soul patch thing going on. Not really a super long beard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In his human form, he's a neurosurgeon by trade. So, you know, he's got chops. Smart guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's question one. Question two. You on this podcast indicated that you were excited for Guardians of the Galaxy.
I did.
Because that opened up the intergalactic side of the Marvel Universe.
That's right, yeah.
So there's another layer of all this that we now are going to get.
Yeah, we're going to go
thrown in.
We're going to go multi-dimensional on this bitch. You know, we've been sticking into one dimension so far. Fuck that. That's old school. We're going multi-dimensional. We're going to hell. We're going to go through all that.
No, I've always wanted to go to hell.
Yeah, Marvel goes to hell. Get pumped.
Okay, but on like a semi-serious note, speaking of like Marvel goes to hell, or just like in general conception, what happens next with these Marvel DC universe moves that are making?
Right.
When this movie actually comes out, because I believe it's 2015 or 2016, 2 years down the road.
Right.
What's the likelihood that we care, or whatever it is we do qualifies as caring? And I'm not saying like you or I mean just as a movie going population, what's the likelihood that we hit our saturation point? Because there's 25 movies coming out in the superhero comic book genre over the next 5 years.
Dude, such a good point, and I don't know the answer to that. I mean, obviously Marvel and DC are both banking on the fact that it stays this popular through 2021. You know, they have it all mapped out through that point. I would have said, if you had asked me 2 years ago, that we would have been well oversaturated by now. But something we're probably going to talk about in the next couple minutes is the fact that the Marvel Avengers 2 trailer leaked over the weekend and fucking in the first day got 30 million clicks. I mean, people are still pining for
that
stuff. That's
Taylor Swift level shit.
Yeah, that's getting that Taylor Swift money right there.
That's not Taylor Swift traffic.
Uh-huh.
What do the haters do, Marvel? What do you say? You shake it off. Mm-hmm. The haters, they're going to hate. And the leakers, they're going to leak. And the S.H.I.E.L.D. watchers are just going to be disappointed because they waited a long time to have a preview that validated watching a shitty show for a very long time, and then they didn't get it.
Yeah, you got to feel bad for those people. I mean, Marvel's still definitely trying to support that show, and this was actually a pretty good move, is to debut the Avengers 2 trailer during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
And then went and leaked a week early. But they're still getting something. They're going to instead debut a scene from the movie during that spot. Oh, so that's nice. Kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Sorry to anybody who actually watches the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. out there. If you do, we'd actually love to talk to you about it, because I don't watch the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't think any of the others of us do, but somebody does.
No, a little too deep into the mythology for me there. I like to, and I have no concept of how they continued the plot line after Captain America kind of just like reset the entire series. So a little too, I don't like having to watch shows that then are affected by things that you have to pay more to see, you know?
They're hooking you in right there.
Do you think it like, 3 or 4 years when this gets kind of down the road, there's a similar schism in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. only Marvel Universe movie population, similar to the Game of Thrones book versus TV watchers, where people who have watched the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have just another layer of understanding?
You know, there could be a little bit, but the movies make so much money that there's no chance that they're going to have movie watchers only feel left out, you know? I think they're gonna put everything you need to know. And it's like, if you've seen the Star Wars movies, you get the key plot points, you know, you get the outline. If you want to go deeper into the universe, there's so much material for you to get better understandings of characters and motivations, but it's like you can hit the you can hit all the big, you can hit all your spots still with the movie and like be satisfied with that. So I feel like they're trying to kind of create that. I mean, comic books, television show, all the things around that, they're really trying to create it. Although I don't think that this one's going to work out, that this one's like has been a smashing success necessarily.
No. Okay. It's just kind of tough. Kind of like my argument last week about Gotham, like comparing that to a Christopher Nolan trilogy, you know, it's like trying to compare the Marvel universe that you can do on a TV budget to these fucking epic movies that they put out. It's just not the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. All right. Looking at this superstar comic book, whatever you want to call them, movie schedule for the next 6 years, one movie that is not the Avengers that you think is going to do shockingly good, and one movie that you would actually bet real life money on is going to tank.
Ooh, I can jump out here. I think that we're going to. I think that what is going to underperform is going to be, well, what I'm looking forward to is I see we got a Wolverine 3 coming out in 2017. I'm looking forward to that. The last Wolverine was a good movie. And so I really,
yes, it was.
I like the Wolverine only films. They hold up really well. Oh, the X-Men Origins version of that, set aside, the Wolverine film, that second one really held up really well. And it was like a good kind of really stood out on its own. And so I'm really looking forward to that. One that will underperform, I'd have to guess, is I'm seeing it all the way out here in 2020. So it's kind of hard for me to say that, but I'm torn between Green Lantern, which I think they're just pushing it that far off so that like the stink of Ryan Reynolds like can affect it as little as possible. Sure. They're gonna be like, oh, that happened 10 years ago.
I think that's legitimately what's
and,
going on.
And I have no idea what to expect with Shazam. I only think of Kazam when I see that movie title, so I don't even know what that is, but unless Shaq's gonna be in it, I'm probably not gonna see that movie either.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson's going to be in it.
Oh, I do like The Rock. All right, all right. It's moving up the charts.
He plays the main
now.
Bad guy.
All right.
Derek, you certainly have the best take on the pulse of this whole thing.
So I would say, since we opened with it, I think Doctor Strange is going to be a surprise hit.
Okay.
I also think Aquaman is actually going to be a huge hit.
Mm.
I think so too. As long as they just make a shot-for-shot remake of whatever existed in the Entourage world, they're gonna be okay.
They'll do just fine. That guy, whoever starred in Entourage, they got to give him a cameo, right?
Adrian Grenier.
They need to give him something. But his character should be the Entourage character, so it gets super meta. Like his name should be Vince in whatever cameo he gets.
I
like that. I like that a lot.
As far as a bomb, Fantastic Four is going to be awful.
And who are the, do you know who the, I know we have Michael Jordan is one of the Fantastic Four. Do they have any other big?
Michael B. Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan.
MJ's making a comeback, dude. Slapping on those basketball shorts and he's just gonna go fire around.
It's actually not a particularly bad casting, like as far as talent goes, as far as fit, who knows, but it's Michael B. Jordan. It's Kate Mara.
She's cool. She's good.
She was most recently seen getting pushed into the pathway of a subway train by the Vice President of America. Yeah, that's realistic. And then Miles Teller, who is the Benedict Cumberbatch of Americans right now, I would go so far as to say.
He's like,
why is that? Who is he?
He is he's sensitive. He's like the artsy role, but he's also been in like some more pulpy movies.
Okay.
His big thing that's out right now, it's called Whiplash, and it's him and the
dude who you know.
The guy from the Allstate commercials.
The guy whose face you know extremely well. State
Farm.
From
State Farm.
I want to see. He looks good in the Whiplash, actually. Miles Teller's kind of like, does he qualify as kind of like the like a mumblecore's male lead opposite like Greta Gerwig or something like that? Like that's kind of what he seems to do. That's kind of like the vibe I get from him. And I don't know, I want to see Whiplash though, because I haven't been a huge fan of his stuff that I've seen of him recently. But
yeah, So he is actually, he's in Project X.
Oh, that was his best role I've ever seen, man. That was, he was great in that role. What am I saying?
Yeah. So he's the main character in Project X.
Love that movie.
And he's Mr. Incredible.
Oh, well.
Okay.
So they're going young. They're going really young then.
They're going young, yeah. Because they've already announced a second one with kind of continuing the same characters.
Right.
Which is kind of the crazy thing about this like timeline that we're looking at here. Yeah. Is that we have these movies and then there's the second one, you know?
For sure.
Like in 2017, we're getting a Justice League. And in 2019, we're getting a Justice League too. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
It's going to happen. The funding exists.
Yep.
So it's gonna, that's going to be an interesting thing.
Yeah. That's the same thing they did with Guardians of the Galaxy, though. They already had the sequel locked up before, and they announced it before the premiere.
They actually didn't lock the sequel in until the screenings did really well, until it tested really well.
Oh, so before the release, but after the screenings.
Right before the release, after the testing.
Because I remember they announced it at Comic-Con that they were doing the sequel no matter what, so.
Yeah, it's because it had tested. It had tested extremely well.
Yeah, they knew. What are you, you got a movie looking forward to, Christian?
Looking forward to... I don't know, man. I think there's just so much at a certain point. You know, there was a point at which it was kind of manageable. Like, I was able to see Thor and the first two Iron Mans and the first Captain America. I was able to kind of grasp those prior to the Avengers. But I think when you look at just how outrageous it gets, you really are going to have to pick and choose. I don't think Ant-Man's going to do very well. I think it's a little too tangential. Mm. And I don't know... I don't think it's far enough out there to qualify for like Guardians of the Galaxy going to space level removal. But I think it's too close to the Avengers. I think people are just going to be a little overwhelmed with theoretically things taking place in the same universe that close to each other. Yeah. So that would be one like near future, just kind of crash and burn I'm looking at. I would also say that unknown Marvel movie, May 2018.
Don't have a lot of faith in that one.
Don't not sleep so much, on unknown not Marvel so much movie. Faith.
Not so much faith there. No, but I just think by the time we get there, it's going to be interesting to see what properties they still hold on to. And you know, there's no like the unknown Marvel movies. Yeah. Those all could just be like Avengers 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And I don't think people would be too bad about it. I think that would actually be something that would kind of guarantee them their money as opposed to trying to get some of these other properties to take.
For sure.
As far as a movie that's going to make a just metric shit ton of money, Lego Batman.
Oh my God.
In Christmas 2017, they're going to fucking print it, dude. They are going to print it. Because you know what people love? Legos. You know what else people love? Batman. You know what kids and adults can see? Lego Batman. And that is going to be a massive film. That's going to be a huge film.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Also, Batman versus Superman in 2016 is going to make all the money.
The Dawn of Justice?
Yeah, the Dawn of Justice.
I'm just really excited to see Ben Affleck play the same character he just played in Gone Girl, but as Batman. Just sad, depressed, questionable morality.
Brooding.
That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, speaking of brooding... The Royals fans are brooding a little bit right now as their team faces elimination, but they were brooding way more in mid-July because they were Royals fans and they weren't in the Super Bowl or in the World Series, excuse me. They were just Royals fans that were dealing with another season of Royals mediocre baseball. To not mediocre. Yeah. And specifically, there was a slump. In the middle of July that has since been attributed to a specific freemium game that KO and I may have discussed not so long ago. And I'll read right out of the article. Following a loss on July 20th that dropped the team win percentage below 500, which is less wins than losses, first base coach Rusty Kuntz was dismayed to find a number of Royals tapping away on their iPads in Clash of Clans in the locker room.
The obsession is real.
Kaya, having played this game and knowing how it works, how many members of this team do you think were like, fuck, I wish I was in the bullpen right now? Like, that guy is he's totally doing it. He's got it. He is building his armies. He's barching his ass off right now. He's going to get Town Hall 6 way before I'm getting Town Hall 6.
You know what the problem is? This coach doesn't understand that, you know, they set their stuff to upgrade during the game, and you got to get back in there after the game to, like, reset all your things. You can't just let Clash of Clans sit. So I don't think he had proper appreciation there. But I'm honestly not super surprised that this game is so addictive. I would not be, and I don't think it's at all to blame for them winning or losing games. I mean, they're a streaky baseball team, as they've shown. And so, but I'm not surprised at all that, like, probably five or six of them that are all just got started in the game and the game's over. Like, all right, we lost. Well, shit, I'm still making $4.5 million this year. Let's see how my Clash of Clans is going right now.
Like, yeah, Kayo and I were discussing the merits of spending $10 on this game. What do you think these fools were dropping? Oh, like, God. A casual hundo?
I like to think that they had, like, the integrity to want to, like, build it up. Like, I feel like there's just, like, certain types of game players, and some people treat cell phone games. It's like, you know, if you're not going to buy an Xbox and you're not going to buy other video games, it's like you can spend some money on these freemium games and enjoy them. But I like to think that these guys are bootstrapping it. Maybe, you know, maybe 10 or 20 bucks, but they're really picking themselves up and getting to those level 8s and 9 town halls. That's just in my dreams.
The funny thing, you ready for this? I'm reading the article, and it says that there was different clans within the team.
What? They're not on what? Oh, man, I would love to battle the Royals clan. That'd be pretty sweet. Should we see, like, World Series champs or something like that? But
that would be awesome.
They should all be on the same clan, and that's probably the problem, though, you know? You can't have everybody on the same clan when they're on the same schedule. You got to have the nice variety, as clashers now.
Can you have a max number of players per clan?
50.
50.
Oh,
so okay. You can get up there pretty high, yeah.
Do you think they had to cut somebody from the clan because they got cut from the actual baseball team?
God, that'd be so depressing. I hope not. I hope that they at least threw him that bone, that if he lost his job, he still got to be in the clan.
Like, hey, George, we really appreciate the fact you've been donating level 2 dragons for the last month and a half. It, like, means a lot, and it's really, really going to lower our, you know, like, per battle average take home. But really, just the schedule we'll be on won't match up with you now that you're going down to AAA.
We're going to be clanning all the time, and you're just not going to have the time on those buses. There's no Wi-Fi there. I would feel so sad for him. I hope not.
I like to believe that there's a world in which every Major League Baseball team had their own clan. Yeah. And they all played in addition to playing in real life. So, like, game one was also, like, prep day. And then, like, game two was battle day. And game three, they just talked a lot of shit about what went down.
I think that's how you figure out the wild card right there going forward.
That'd be so funny, dude.
That'd be a nice corporate tie-in, the Clash of Clans. They spent money on a Super Bowl commercial. They can figure this part out, too. I got the money.
Mad Bum's just on the hill like, hey, did you see Moustakas? Fucking came after me, got 24%, you bitch.
Well, Bumgarner would be the level 5 dragon of the clan world.
He just has, like, a town hall and nothing
else. You just
else.
Win. If you have him on your team, you're going to win that battle.
The Giants going to win the fucking World Series again. God damn it.
Don't jinx it.
That's the least I can do. Speaking of not jinxing it, this guy in the UK... jinxed himself, I would say. This man, after avoiding court for 2 years by faking seizures and comas, got caught up because he couldn't send somebody else to get groceries for him.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty weak, but I feel like this guy got away with it so cleanly. It's like anybody that gets away with something like that, it's like you always want to... You know, if he's not in a coma, he might as well go out and enjoy himself, and then he'll get his convenient seizure when the time comes. But it's I feel like anybody who does these kind of things, like, if you think you can get away with faking comas and seizures, you're probably not going to be the brightest person to, like, then consider the fact that they're going to track your rewards card at your local grocery store.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely not the brightest person. So how did he get away with this for 2 years? That is crazy.
And I think
I just find it hard to believe that nobody was like, has anybody thought about the fact that he conveniently has seizures every time he's supposed to come
but
to court.
These court dates are set in advance, so I think he was just smart about his timing of his seizures and his various medical ailments. And he had his wife in on the con as well to kind of back up and like to back him up and have like a shady doctor give him a note. And so I think he had the whole bit going. And but
I also think it's probably a pretty good hustle in the like litigious society that we live in. Mm-hmm. You know, like if this guy actually was a quadriplegic and actually was having seizures and the court was like, hey, man, like we don't think you're fucking having seizures, like they could get, you know, kind of in trouble. Mm-hmm. I believe so. There's probably a little bit of like you have to believe the people when they say things like this.
Oh, yeah.
But on the flip side, like this guy should not have been walking around if he claimed to be a quadriplegic. That's like
that was the first hint.
That's hustle 101.
The weirdest thing to me to build on is that this guy was getting, the reason he had to go to court was because he was getting indicted for fraud over stealing money in the first place. So
not even that much money for 2 years.
No, but he stole $65,000 from his deceased neighbor. Jeez. Then the police, I guess, I don't know how long it took them to find them. I hope that it didn't take a year and a half for someone to be like, hey, this guy who just defrauded somebody of money is not showing up for court now. Like maybe we should look into the fact that he's not showing up for court. But maybe that's why he was able to get away, you know, just slid right under the radar. Not important enough. Yeah. People are going to feel bad. Like imagine thinking he's lying and he wasn't. And then you just went and took a, and just like made a fool of yourself by trying to, it's like a Ace Ventura scene. When you're trying to like prove that a quadriplegic is not one, that could be a little bit embarrassing for oneself, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. For the record, if anybody's actually trying to commit this fraud, at almost all grocery stores in America, you can enter 555-867-5309, and there will be a legitimate supermarket account under that.
People have made them at all the different chains.
At just about all of them. At Walgreens, it says this is not a real number, so I think they've cut on. But it works at Ralph's, and it has worked for me at Safeway. It's genius.
And it's so easy to remember, too.
Just think, like, what's Jenny's number?
Someone should write a song about it.
Jenny, I got your number. You're going to give me 2-for-1 on this mac and cheese. 867-5309.
You got to really hold it down,
But I'm not one to appropriate a song like that, a true classic.
Sure.
Tommy Two Tone. Do you guys know that was actually a number that guy saw on like a bathroom?
Yeah, that was a real number that apparently like constantly, like people had that number under various area codes and all of these people had to change their numbers because they were just constantly getting called. That's like a thing. Funny. But I think he was just on a little drug trip or something, right? And he saw the number and so he decided to write a song about it because it like rhymed in his head.
Yeah, could you imagine having that number for like 20 years and hearing that song and be like, holy shit, that was there the whole time. All right, one more on songs. Less awesome, more awesome than Tommy Two Tone. More awesome when I was probably like 16 or whenever this came out, but less awesome now. James Blunt, who is an English dude who you probably don't know, apologized recently for a song that he made way back in the day, and it was called You're Beautiful.
You're beautiful. Oh, yeah. Anybody forgot? That's exactly what it sounded like.
It's true. Saw your face in a crowded place.
That was my jam. Damn it.
Yeah, it was kind of my jam, too, if I'm being honest. Yeah.
If you were making a mixtape in high school, this song was finding its way on there somehow.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if you were sticking it in the front to really set the emotions right, or if you were hiding it in the back for a nice sensual closer, but it was somewhere on there.
Just like really bring it home. Yeah. Well, James Blunt does not feel this way. James Blunt says he's a little bit bothered by it. Because it was force-fed down people's throats, and it became annoying, and then people start to associate the artist with the same word. Which I think means that he's tired of walking around the world and having people go, "Hey, James, you're beautiful."
You get tired of that.
Which, I don't know. I wouldn't, I don't think. I would like to live in a life where I get tired of being told I'm beautiful. Yeah. That's what I want to live in. If I can make it to that point, like, maybe that's making it, you know? Like, how do you know you made it? People tell me I'm beautiful too much. I'm tired of it. Do you guys think this guy has a should have done this?
I appreciate the gesture. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with it. As previously stated, I enjoy that song. But I like the fact that he thinks he needs to apologize for it, because that song for sure did get overplayed. I would love to see this from other people a lot more.
I actually do like hearing from an artist too, like, they recognize, like, the gross, like, commercialization that happens with, like, some kind of songs that really come out, you know, like, what was that, a few years ago, Gautier with, like, Somebody I Used to Know. Like, that guy's never gonna have another hit in America. Like, that was the shot there, and it just got hit. You heard that song for a year, I feel like. It just never went away. So it's kind of nice to know that the artists see it the same way, and that he's not just so wrapped up in his own persona that he thinks this is, like, the greatest song in the history of songs.
That's fair. Who do you guys think has a responsibility, or who would you like to hear a public apology for the number ones that they've, or let's say just the songs that they are responsible for?
Gwen Stefani owes me a personal...
Well, settle down. One at a time. One at a time, Nick.
Personal apology for Hollaback. And I will state that till my dying day.
Did Hollaback Girl...
Fuck that song.
How did that affect you at the personal level there, Derek? Was it just, like, too much radio play?
Just too much. It's awful. Yeah. It's the worst song. It's baffling.
It is not the worst song. Your shit is bananas, Derek.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
She's teaching spelling to generation of children right there. I mean, the only reason I knew how to spell beautiful was because of The Truman Show. I mean, you got to have these kind of songs that can help you out on these things.
That is true.
Oh, God. But I think Hollaback...
I was going to say, if someone gave me the opportunity to say, we will delete bananas from existence if Hollaback Girl also no longer exists, I'd be like, done.
Give up bananas? You would deprive the entire human race of bananas?
Yes. Yes. Fuck that song. Wow.
That is a, I learned is also last year that is a Pharrell joint. This dude owns like every hit from the 2000s. I feel like he had a hand in. But that's why it's so catchy, man. This guy can't not make a hit.
All right. Okay.
I had a few that jumped to mind, but number one is Right Said Fred with "I'm Too Sexy." That song has caused so many ill-advised strip teases out in the world. Like, they actually need to apologize. Gwen Stefani, it's like, sure, you have to listen to some high school girls like scream the chorus every once in a while, but like, Right Said Fred gives anybody who's like in the center of attention while that song's on, like, just carte blanche to do whatever they think is sexy. And like, oftentimes, like, that is not what should be done. It's not appropriate. And so Right Said Fred needs to, awesome. I think I'd be willing to give up. Well, you know, I wouldn't give up bananas to get rid of that song.
Would you give up the direction right in order to
can only turn left.
Zoolander did all right. I guess I could do that.
Yeah. We're all Derek Zoolander now.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. So there's a couple people that I think need to apologize. But the first person, I don't think he necessarily needs to apologize. I think the people that then took what he did and turned it into what it is need to apologize. Mm. And that's Rick Astley, the Rick Roll. Like, I think the world deserves a apology, because that got taken from like kind of a funny thing to where for a while there it was just like every single link you clicked had like a 60% chance of being
a Rickroll,
never gonna give you up. Yeah. Yep. And I think like that was a bad time in internet history. I think we've come on past it to the point where now if I get Rickrolled, I actually laugh.
Yeah, it's now it's now back in vogue because it just got so beat to the pulp earlier on.
It's like it's like postmodern. Mm-hmm. It's like cool to go back in time and rickroll people. The people who I do think have a legitimate responsibility to society to apologize are one Smash Mouth for the song All Star.
Oh boy.
Which, if you want to talk about being that slam down people's throats.
Oh yeah.
That was going on with that. Like, I do not think that there was a sporting event in about a 10-year period that did not feature All-Star in some way. The other folks are the Black Eyed Peas, which is just the most illogical name for a music group by any stretch of the imagination, and specifically the Boom Boom Pow song. That one did a little bit of the grating, and then the I Got a Feeling that came up like literally on the heels, and we just couldn't avoid it at all. Those two, I think, were bad moments in time.
You know, and the common theme among those are they are all hip-hop-esque songs that have easily decipherable words. And so anything yes. like that, just I guess all the songs that we've been mentioning, they are just so easy to remember and then sing that it's like they're just impossible to run away from.
Sure. Now, on the flip side, I think there's songs that got played out that I don't think anybody has any responsibility to apologize for. Hmm. And as a matter of fact, I like that they were played out because those are going to be the songs that like make it on through into the future, right? Like, there's songs that our parents, like, they come on the radio, and at least my parents, like, they know every word to. And there's two kinds. One is like shit that they just really liked, and then the other is just like songs that everybody in their generation knows. Mm-hmm. And so the one person who I think has made a lot of these songs that end up being like pretty played out but has no responsibility to say sorry to anybody is Usher.
Yeah, of course.
Because like the song "Yeah," if you recall, I believe
love
it was maybe,
that song.
I don't know, like the middle school era for me. But that thing was everywhere.
Ludacris, like, that Usher, one was that everywhere. That was like the tail end of Little John's peak, right there. I can't really remember too many songs he's done. I guess now.
See, the funny thing is, Lil Jon kind of has that Pharrell thing where he's on way more shit than you think.
Oh yeah.
And then the other people who have no responsibility to ever say sorry are the Baja Men and the timeless classic, Who Let the Dogs Out?
Oh, man, I was going to bring that up. I was wondering who was going to say that. I think apologies are needed for that song. I disagree. I cannot. And you can't even tell what the words are in that song. Literally, the only words anybody can actually decipher is the chorus.
No, there's a part where he goes, "Get back, Scruffy. Back, Scruffy. Get back, you flea-infested mongrel."
All right, well, I missed that chunk, I guess. But I would put that one and All-Star from Smash Mouth as the ultimately overplayed sports anthems at every single major sporting event, just constantly.
That's true. Derek, are you familiar with what Mike Van Beek used to do when he was in... I want to say college, maybe, or high school, driving around. So we have a friend who is from Fresno and is a big Fresno Bulldogs fan. So one of the things he would do is he would call in local radio stations repeatedly and like bother them to play Who Let the Dogs Out if the Fresno Bulldogs were doing anything of any success. So like a wide range of radio stations, not just like the one that would appropriately play,
but like the classical channel.
Which is hey, after you finish the Tchaikovsky, could you throw on the Baja Men? Alright. Any last things, guys?
No, I'm looking forward to the end of this. I think I'm done with football season now. All my teams have shown their true colors. And so I kind of know where I stand there. And looking forward to the end of baseball season and basketball getting picked up, getting going on here, and get 2 or 3 weeks of hope before the Lakers season comes burning down to earth. So that'll be great.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I just thought of the craziest one-time song that I ever. I can't even remember that I thought of this. Sorry to hijack. Do you guys recall the song "Lips of an Angel"? by Hinder?
Oh, I definitely do.
I do not. I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna have to play that back after this.
Oh my god, those folks need to apologize to the world. I think.
Well, I will say that I typed in "lips" on Google, and the first thing that comes up is "lips of an angel." So, it's still present.
You'll definitely recognize it.
You will. You really will. D-Rock, anything you want to give the people before we go?
No, pretty good. I'm visiting the girlfriend in Michigan this weekend. Pretty excited
for that. Is it going to be very, very cold?
It probably will. It's on the precipice.
You're gonna be,
it's not quite...
Sorry, I was going to say, you're going to be a good fan and go out to the game, Derek?
Yeah, we are. Oh, going to the Indiana game. Should be good.
Oh, sweet.
Should be good. I brought my Wolverine costume for the Michigan Wolverines.
Oh, perfect.
And it's going to be right by Halloween. You're going to get on TV, friend.
You better believe it.
Better put that Michigan game on record here.
Do you guys have any creative costumes you're doing this year? Is that your jam? I don't even know.
Fucking worst,
no,
man.
I'm not a creative costumer. I about 2 years ago, I put on a leather jacket, and then my girlfriend, now fiance, put on a 50s outfit, and so I got to go as a greaser. It was probably my favorite costume I think I've ever done.
That's pretty
except
good.
For I was at the, out at the bars all night, so I was already sweat through my shirt by about minute 10 of the night, but I'm going as a doctor this year. I'm going to be the so comfortable. It's going to be great.
Nice. I like doctor. Mm-hmm. That's a good play. I think my fallback right now is the one that I stole from you last year. The Clark Kent pick.
Always a good standby.
It's just real easy.
Yeah.
Real, real easy. But I would like to do something a little bit different. So maybe I'll hijack KO's costume this year and be a doctor.
There you go.
Fuck it.
Get those scrubs on, man. You should, like, you're buying pajamas and a costume at the same time.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I generally try and go for, like, the most comfortable. So I would say most of my costumes have been, like, Christmas morning. or one year for Beta Breakers, I wore a robe and shorts, and I was chilling. So people are like, what are you? I'm like, chilling.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That was fun. But I don't know if I can pull that quite off. It would be nice to wear slippers and basketball shorts.
Well, you can be Saturday
though.
Morning this year.
I'll just be like, covered in tears, like, what are you? I'm after the USC football game. Okay, well, thank you as always to Laura Peterson for recording our intro.
Thank you to Matt Gravish for putting together our fancy logo,
and thank you to you if you made it this far. Feel free to reach out. We're on Twitter, the Twitter at @thebrief_. We can also be found at all of our names at keepingitbrief.org, or if you know us, you can actually, like, physically come talk to us too. We like that as well.
Thanks, guys.
Adios.
Bye. Yeah, yeah.